This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Nearly 2 weeks after a massive train derailment in Ohio, some residents say they're concerned about their health and distrustful of what they're hearing from authorities.
We just don't even know which way to turn and have little or no help on our side of the fence here, although we were only 0.4 miles from that mess when it occurred.
And a Georgia grand jury alleges possible perjury in an investigation into 2020 election fraud. Plus, President Biden clears the air on aerial objects. It's Thursday, February 16th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Speaking from the White House today, President Biden addressed concerns about three high-flying objects taken down over North America in recent days following the shooting down of an alleged Chinese surveillance balloon earlier this month. The president said those three subsequent objects were taken down out of an abundance of caution.
Nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles from any other country. The intelligence community's current assessment is that these three objects were most likely balloons tied to private companies, recreation or research institutions studying weather or conducting other scientific research.
Biden also warned that any object that does pose a threat to Americans will be taken down. A special grand jury in Georgia says unidentified witnesses may have committed perjury by lying to jurors investigating former President Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A judge released about 9 pages of excerpts from the jury's report today. Wall Street Journal politics and U.S. News reporter Cameron McWhorter has more details.
I think after this report, it's pretty safe to say that someone's going to get indicted because there was at least the issue of perjury. When those are coming is unclear. The prosecutor can now go to a new grand jury and seek criminal indictments. The big question, of course, is how high is she going to go in doing that, and where are we headed? Obviously, the prospect has been raised that it could go as high as Mr. Trump.
Trump lost the state of Georgia by about 12,000 votes out of 5 million cast in 2020. He and his supporters claimed fraud, but statewide recounts and an audit by Georgia's Secretary of State found no evidence of widespread fraud. Court challenges also failed. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman has been hospitalized for clinical depression. He is seeking voluntary treatment on the recommendation of the attending physician for Congress after a series of prior health complications. Last week, Fetterman was admitted to the hospital after feeling lightheaded, and last year he suffered a stroke. Fetterman's chief of staff said he is, quote, getting the care he needs and will soon be back to himself. The Supreme Court announced it will remove a case from its calendar regarding Title 42, a policy that allows migrants coming through the southern border to be quickly expelled without the ability to request asylum. The Biden administration pushed for the High Court to drop the case earlier this month due to the national emergency declaration for COVID-19 already set to end in May, which Title 42 falls under. Republican representatives were hoping to keep the policy in place, and the Supreme Court had been scheduled to review states' ability to pursue the case before the cancellation. Title 42 will formally end on May 11th, the same day the COVID-19 public health emergency is set to end. And Tesla is recalling about 362,800 vehicles to fix its advanced driver safety system, known as full self-driving beta. That's according to federal safety regulators, who say some Teslas could, in rare circumstances, violate local traffic laws and potentially increase the risk of a collision without driver intervention. The recall covers 2016 to 2023 Tesla Model S and X vehicles, 2017 to 2023 Model 3 sedans, and 2020 to 2023 Model Y SUVs. Coming up, some Ohio and Pennsylvania residents say they have health concerns following a massive train derailment earlier this month. We'll hear from them after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
It has been nearly 2 weeks since a Norfolk Southern train derailed from the tracks in eastern Ohio near the border with Pennsylvania, sending 38 cars sprawling into a jumble that caught fire, spewing heavy smoke and chemicals into the air, ground, and water around it. For residents like Jerry Corbin, it's been a traumatic experience.
And I hear the whistle, the train whistle coming, you know. It used to be a romantic sound. Now it sends shivers up your spine.
East Palestine, Ohio, is home to nearly 5,000 people, and weeks after the accident, many say they're worried about the impact of it and aren't getting enough answers about safety. Joining me now with more on this is Midwest reporter Chris Marr, who's been reporting from Ohio and Pennsylvania this week. Chris, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, let's start with what we now know about how this derailment happened.
So far, what we know about the cause of the derailment has come from the National Transportation Safety Board. And a few days after the accident, an NTSB board member said there was video showing a mechanical problem with one of the rail cars, and in particular, a wheel or axle, and then an emergency braking system had been activated after that. Since then, there's been some video that's come out that showed sparking or a fire near one of the wheels, and it appears that this had actually been going on for miles before the actual derailment. So at this point, there's a lot that we don't know. You know, if this wheel had been sparking or on fire for 10 or 20 miles before the derailment, we don't know why they didn't pick that up. And potentially this derailment could have been avoided.
And many of us saw those aerial scenes of thick black smoke spilling into the air after this happened. What does the scene of the derailment look like now, nearly 2 weeks later? And what about the damage? Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, so today in East Palestine, there's still a lot of scorched tanker cars that are just sort of lying at different angles where they fell, I guess, caught fire. There's a lot of workers from the railroad who are excavating soil, and they're sort of tearing apart these rail cars. They're ripping the steel apart. It's quite noisy. There are trucks hauling material out of East Palestine. There's a lot of activity happening, but in another sense, the town is sort of in this limbo, I think, still. Some of the businesses have opened, but many others remain shut because of environmental concerns. And, you know, people have a lot of questions.
So you spoke with several residents who are concerned about the potential health impacts of the accident, including Jerry Corbin, who we heard from earlier. He told you he's been collecting ash flakes since the derailment, and he and his wife, Victoria, had evacuated, but say they've had some health issues since coming back to their home in Darlington, Pennsylvania.
I've had headaches ever since. I've never hardly ever in my life had headaches. And I have, and they're not bad headaches, they just jump around in my head in different places. And an itchy throat and sore throat. And it only happens when I go in his house.
Yeah, so Jerry and his wife Victoria are really not happy to be back in their home. He had lung cancer back in 1995 and actually had to have one of his lungs removed. So, you know, he's already kind of compromised there for sure. So he's very worried about being back in his home. And his wife, Victoria, she was showing me where she had been kind of gathering up some clothing and other things that she's keeping in plastic bins because there are a number of lawyers, plaintiff's attorneys who are out meeting with people. And she had heard that some of them had recommended that they keep some of their things just in case they're needed later for a lawsuit.
Victoria also told you it's been a confusing time.
We just don't even know which way to turn. and have little or no help on our side of the fence here.
Pennsylvania seems to be shut out.
Pennsylvania's, they're not even thinking about us, you know what I mean? Mm. Although we were only 0.4 miles from that mess when it occurred.
So what I've been hearing from a lot of residents is that they're upset that they were told they could return 5 days after the accident. But then a day later, they started learning some new details. The EPA released some information about chemicals that had been released into some creeks, a number of creeks, but there's one in particular that runs through the town, kind of goes under some buildings and under some homes. Air and water monitoring are ongoing. So many of the residents said, you know, we feel like all this monitoring should have been done before we were told to come back, not while we're coming back.
So a lot of questions, a lot of frustration that you've heard from residents. What else have we heard from the authorities here about what is now going on and what the safety situation is?
Yeah, so state and federal environmental regulators have said that the air is safe in East Palestine and the surrounding area. They have said that chemicals were released into waterways, but in those cases, they're saying it's limited and that it's not affecting the water supply. But this has not been too comforting for the residents there. Many residents want testing inside their homes, which is being done. But even when it is being done, they're still kind of distrustful about those results at this point. The EPA has its own contractors who have been going on to sites along with the contractor hired by Norfolk Southern. So there is definitely some federal environmental oversight here that's taking place at the same time. Some residents are still opting to hire their own contractor to take air samples and send them off to a laboratory. Right now, there's just a lot of information coming out from these test results. And, you know, I think it's going to take time before people are feeling comfortable being back home. One of the things that people who are living in East Palestine find most troubling is that they can still smell some kind of a chemical smell. I've heard just a variety of different ways of characterizing the smell. I've heard nail polish remover mixed with burned plastic or paint thinner or Sharpie or even banana Laffy Taffy, that candy. But when people are smelling this, particularly near their homes or in their homes, it's been very alarming. And I think that's creating a lot of the uncertainty.
And was there anything commensurate with that authorities have said to address what people are smelling and whether they think that's dangerous?
Sure. I did ask the EPA about some of these smells, and they said that it's definitely possible that people could be smelling certain things and that if they had any sort of symptoms at all, they should contact their medical provider. But, you know, there's been some mixed messages given out, and one of them is related to drinking water. The state EPA has said that the municipal water is fine to drink, but it gets a little bit more complicated when you're dealing with people with private wells who are not in the municipal system. In that case, officials have also said, you know, you should rely on bottled water until you get your test results back. So I think it's an element of uncertainty, and it's going to be anxiety producing for some people.
I've been speaking with Midwest reporter Chris Marr. Chris, thank you so much for joining me, and I'm sure we'll check in again on this story.
Thank you so much.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.